I am State Representative Valerie Gatos. Welcome to my podcast. Today, I have on this show Ron Rossetti, who is the founder and president of Peace, Love, and Little Donuts. And if you've never had a Peace, Love, and Little Donuts, you should definitely try them. So Ron is a resident of the 44th District and has numerous franchise operating locations all throughout the Pittsburgh region, but also all throughout the United States. So, Ron,
we're in 10 states now.
10 states. What's your biggest selling store?
I would say it used to be the Strip District, which I was proud of. It was our first location, but I think we've recently been surpassed by St. Augustine, Florida.
Wow. And what is your number one selling donut?
You know, I would have told you it was the maple bacon from me just serving donuts forever,
yeah.
But actually the cinnamon roll is the number one seller.
Okay, well, we have here the cinnamon roll and the
maple
bacon. This is, and I'll tell you, I think I like them both. So what was your aha moment when you said, I've got to start and make tiny little donuts that have awesome toppings?
I think as many people who start businesses have, I'm sure, stories that run the gamut, but mine was a real unusual beginning in that we had no idea this was going to happen. We were in a lot of financial distress as a family in 2008 and going into 2009. And this was nobody's great idea. I mean, this was I refer to it as a version of business spaghetti that you throw against the wall and hope that something sticks. But nobody really believed in it, and we started it thinking that it might maybe pay our electric bill at the end of the day. But it started and really ran us over. It wasn't immediate. People think it's overnight success. It's been 15 years now. But it took a long time for that location to really be profitable. And then after that, it took a long time for us to figure out how we could help other people become franchisees, which we didn't know anything about and had no intention of. When people used to come in and ask me, is this a franchise? I was offended. It was so funny. I was like, what about this makes you think it's a franchise? And we invented all this. And instead, I realized, because I'm not too smart on the uptake, that people were saying, how can I do this? That's what their question was. No, how can I do a Peace, Love, and Little Donuts? And so that's what gave us the chance to begin to explore franchising, which we started in 2016.
That's interesting. Well, how did you even come up with the name of Peace, Love, and Little Donuts? What? Where did that come from?
Well, I had a whole other name picked out, but my wife would not sign on to it. It's just such a weird story. But
are you going to tell us what that is, or is that going to be family secret?
It's on the website, kind of, and it's in other places. But so I put a donut machine that we bought used. I put it together wrong, and it would not make a real donut. I had no intention of making this size donut. Well, it didn't come with instructions. So I put it together how I thought it made sense to put it together, and it would only make this reduced size donut. And as a result, it's kind of our version of lemons. And so we said, what are we going to do? Well, we'll make lemonade. So if we have a little donut, let's just
make little donuts. But
the original,
with peace and love.
The original idea was, for the name of it, was Honey, I Shrunk the Donuts. That's what I wanted to call it. And I thought, what a wonderful name that is. It is what it says. It says what it is. Kind of passes basic marketing 101 ideas. And my wife goes, it's not great. And I thought, Lord, you gave me this woman, but she does not appreciate my genius. You're going to have to fix the way she thinks. And so she shines on this idea. She just never would come around to it. So literally, less than a month before we were supposed to open, I still didn't have a name. And I was taking a whole crew of people out to feed them. And I was in the washroom washing my hands. And I was looking in the mirror thinking, I'm frustrated. I don't know what we're going to call this business. And we better call it something quick. And my wife's got to like it. And as soon as I sort of posed that thought in my head, it was like a text showed up in my head that said, Peace, Love, and Little Donuts. And I literally looked into the mirror and said, oh, my wife will love that, right? Marcy will love that. And so I went back to the table and asked everybody to put their thumb up like this. And they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, put them up. And I said, I'm going to say the name of the donut shop, and you get a chance to say hate it or love it, but I don't want to have any discussion. And so they all put their thumbs up, and I said, Peace, Love, and Little Donuts. And everybody put their thumb up, and my wife went like this. two thumbs up. And I said, okay, that's what it's called.
Well, and the thing is, you obviously, it's not just within the name. You've got some great artwork that is all part of the marketing. And of course, that van that we all see you drive around in, the donut van, what do you call that van?
Well, it is. Everybody calls it the Scooby van, but it's not.
It does.
Really,
it does.
It reminds you of the Mystery Machine.
It
right?
does.
It's fun, and I like driving. It's our daily driver. But every time I get out of it, somebody says, "You got any donuts?" And I think I should probably carry donuts at least, just to deal with people who want them when I walk out. But so there's a couple of interesting little stories that I think you would appreciate. The logo of the business. I sat down with a gentleman who had done a banner for me once, one of these kind of hang banners that you would hang over a 10x10 tent, and it didn't have anything to do with donuts. And I told him I need a logo for my business, and he said he worked for a sign company. He said, "Are you going to get a sign made?" And I said, "I don't think so." And he goes, "Well, I don't know if I can help you if you're not going to get a sign made." I said, "Well, can I get you on your lunch break or something so I can just pick your brain, because I like the way he thinks." And so I went and saw him, and he said, "Okay." He's eating a sandwich. He goes, "Tell me what you're thinking." And I said, "Okay. So Scooby and Shaggy are in the Mystery Machine, Scooby's driving, and they careen off the road through the side of a building, and they crash into the set of The Dating Game." And I said, "And they keep going through that set, and they crash to the other side of the set, and they land on the set of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In." He goes, "Don't say another word." He goes, "Don't say another word." So I tell him, okay. And he goes, get away from me. And so I go and like bury my head in the corner for about 25 minutes. And then he goes, "Okay, come take a look." And when I came back, that's what he had, with the three icons that now sort of sit alongside of our logo on most of our stuff. He said, "Now I could, if you want me to." I go,
"Love it.
Don't touch it. Save it." I'm saying, please don't lose this. And that was the moment where we created this very emotive, iconic logo, which has done more for our brand than almost anything else, because there are places where we only have the three icons displayed, and people know what that is. Which, being an old guy, I don't think like that. I need words, right? I need somebody to type something. Times New Roman would be helpful.
Yeah, but you know what? It's universal. It's
it
universal.
Is. And
peace
and
love, and add a little donut.
Yeah, people see my backpack or they see my hat and they go, "Is that peace, love, and little donuts?" And I go, "This is the craziest thing to me."
Well, where was your first store located?
In the Strip.
It wasn't the exact
location we're in now. We were about 50 feet away.
And it was in the Strip.
Yeah.
And what year was that?
That was 2009.
Yep. So you've really come a long way. So how many stores do you have, and what are some of the states where you have them?
30 stores.
30 stores. And how many are you? Do you have, and how many are franchised?
So three of them are corporate, and we own and operate those three, and then the other 27 are franchisees.
That is absolutely remarkable. Well, you know, it shows that you have innovation, you are a classic entrepreneur, you've overcome a lot of problems, you made lemons out of lemonade, or you made lemonade out of lemons.
Right.
And but what are the challenges that you have now as a a corporate company that has several franchises, but also as, you know, what is each of your individual company or locations? What are your biggest challenges?
Well, right now I'd say personnel, you know, staffing our locations. I think a lot of things changed during the pandemic. It's tough to get my hands on the why. But I can tell you the world was much different in 2019.
Yeah.
We had people who liked coming to work, and it didn't seem we had an end to the number of people who were interested in working. And we were paying then more than minimum wage, but at that time, I bet our wages were 75%, maybe 50% of what they are now. And we still get very few applicants or people who would show up for an interview. It's challenging. That's our biggest challenge. So we lost 24 stores to the pandemic. So we're at 30, but we lost 24. 24 closed permanently and won't reopen.
So you had 24 more stores and you lost those 24.
Correct.
Well, tell me about that, just going through the pandemic, and how that affected your business in general. I mean, you obviously closed down businesses, but you also, when these businesses are closed, you're not selling donuts, but you're still obligated to pay for the rent and utilities and et cetera. How did you make it through?
It was challenging. I think the initial sort of phase of the pandemic, if I can remember back in that day, is that you just didn't have any idea what was coming. You didn't really know what to expect. You didn't know whether it was 15 days to lower the curve or 30 days to slow the spread or whatever the phrase. I don't even know if I got that right. But
yeah.
The thing was, is you were hanging on this very, very short-term world. And it kept you from thinking about 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years.
Which is really important for a business.
Yes, couldn't think about it. In fact, it was obviously you were looking at the John Hopkins curve and you were thinking, I don't know how high this thing gets, right?
Yeah.
So there was a general concern and you were trying to help people not panic. But at the same time, I have 5 kids. They were all either wanting to be involved in the business or already working for the business. And our payroll was considerable because we were paying for, we had them on the payroll. So there were a lot of considerations that I think, as I look back on it, were hardships. They were really challenges that we affected our brand long term. My oldest is a boy. He's now 38, but I had to lay him off. He had worked for me for 5 years, and he was much better. He was much better at what he was doing for me than I do in that job. So it's woe to people who have to deal with me rather than him. He was much more. He was much better at what I was asking him to do, which was train new stores. But we lost. Really, we had 3 stores under development when the pandemic hit, and those 3, of course, were already in the process, so they were going to open. But then after that, we haven't opened 7 stores since.
So when you're looking for employees, what are some of the skill sets that you're looking for? And I don't mean to be facetious, but I know one of them is just to show up on time.
Yeah, there's a real gap, I think.
On those soft skills, we're missing that in all the businesses.
Well, people are showing up less prepared to come to work than they've ever been.
Interesting.
Less willing to accept the fact that they're unprepared. See, there's a little bit of a challenge there when you tell somebody that they're not everything that they might think they are when they walk in the door. And then there's a gap between getting them from that thought to where they might be an asset to the business. So there's a team focus. We're in tight quarters. You got to be able to get along with people, and that's a skill that is let's call it diminishing. People just don't get along, and I don't know whether it's because you're on your phone and texting is easier than other things, but the idea of being in proximity to people and really learning to get along and not just not offend somebody so you don't get into a fist fight, but how do you actually get the best out of everyone in those kinds of environments.
Isn't that, that's amazing that those are soft skills. You can't really, how do you teach those? I mean, when you are looking for someone to work in your business, you just want them to be able to follow instructions. And that's just pretty disheartening to hear that that's a huge, huge challenge.
Well, most restaurants are not necessarily the most, I guess the word,
it's hard work.
It's hard work, and it's also some restaurants are not necessarily the most positive environment.
Yeah.
So parents thinking, I want to send my kid into the restaurant environment, there may be a challenge there in that they think, I'd rather my kid do nothing.
But, it's a people business, and perhaps, we have a whole generation of kids who are brought up on the computers all day, and it's learning how to interact with people again, and certainly the pandemic didn't do us any favors by keeping people inside by themselves, isolated, and so we've got a huge learning curve in that respect. But what are some of your suggestions on what would you like to see? Like, if you had to wave a magic wand, or you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to see?
Well, in a perfect world, I'd love for parents to know that we're a great place for their kids to come and learn what it takes to serve someone, right? Service is the general banner that we operate under. But great customer service is right now something that we can't even, I don't even want to talk about that. I just want to talk about how can we just wrap our minds around the initial idea of the reason you're here is that you're going to trade time for some compensation. And what we want to do is get you into a position where you benefit us more than we're paying you. Right?
That's the simple concept,
but
right?
But it's hard for people to wrap their mind around. I mean, they think, you know, somehow, can't you just send my check home? And I can just stay home. And you can just send it to me. And I'll text you when someone needs something.
But you hit on that word, service.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really important. For those of us are also in government, that's really what we do. I mean, my conversation with you is to try to find out how we can solve your problems, how we can make our community a better place, and obviously make sure that what government does serves the people, not the other way around.
I think it's a challenge because, obviously, the government is really good at some things, but the private sector is faster, leaner, and probably more focused in a lot of ways of accomplishing short-term goals, especially pivoting. You know, government is typically not the fastest moving entity on the block. And so I think we've got to come to our own aid is primarily it. We've got to find a way to attract, educate, train. And they don't like that word train because they're like, are you trying to teach my kid like a dog? No. New tricks, we don't try that. What we're trying to do is we're trying to help them without letting them know it, that this is going to benefit them. Because if you learn to be a good staff person, team person at Peace, Love, and Little Donuts, world's your oyster.
As Peace, Love, and Little Donuts as a business, you have to deal with credit cards. One of the issues that I know we are talking about is the issues about swipe fees. And I know this gets into kind of the weeds of the actual business, and you've shared with us sort of the soft side of the business and creating a franchise, but tell us about the swipe fees. I know there's some legislation to address some of that, but how does that affect your business?
Well, originally we had a $200 cash register and it was dumb as a stump. I mean, we were pushing a button and it would simply ring a customer up. It kept a record, but it wasn't data. We couldn't gather it. We couldn't pull it. And then when we began to look at franchising, we knew we needed some kind of point of sale system that was universal to us. And we adopted a system that at the time had a flat rate and no swipe fees. So we were very happy with the structure
and
of
the swipe
credit
fee,
card process.
The swipe fee is every time you use a credit card, you as the business has to pay an extra 2 or 3% for that. So that's
the swipe fee is usually an actual price, like 15 cents, 30 cents, 60 cents. That's the swipe. And then, which is why you used to go into a store and see a thing, no sale under $10, can't use a credit card. Why? Because the swipe
fee
became egregious on a small ring, right? On a small average sale. So they'd say, if you want to use a credit card, you got to spend a certain amount of money. Well, that's sort of gone away, but the cost for credit card processing, which in the past has been 100% on the retailer, it wouldn't matter whether you were selling sunglasses or donuts, you were ultimately eating the cost of taking a credit card, and it was a convenience charge. You thought, this is better for my customer, and it traditionally, to be honest with you, I'm told that people spend more money when they use a credit card.
That's true.
Because they don't feel it, right? and as much as I think that's true, I don't like taking advantage of those things. In other words, if somebody doesn't do someone has a behavior that doesn't benefit them, and I take advantage of that, I'm not helping them. So what I think is going to happen in this world is that people are going to begin to give people a choice. At the point of sale, you're going to get the option to pay cash, or you'll pay the fee as a customer. That's happening across all platforms as we speak, the cost. I know when I deal with someone and I buy something, they say if you want to use a credit card, it's a 4% additional surcharge. So they're going to actually charge me to use my card, even though they get paid quicker. I mean, the whole idea was I get paid right now as opposed to some idea of waiting. And so therefore, it would be an incentive to me to take the credit card. But now, with the cost of everything going up, and I mean going up.
And that cost is also one of the issues, is that cost that you get charged is on top of sales tax. So you're paying a fee to pay sales tax on top of that.
Well, so, the good news is donuts in Pennsylvania are not taxed. That's not the way we make them. So the majority of our ring, like if you bought not water in a bottle, that's not taxed either. And clothing, not taxed. So there's a lot of things you can buy.
I didn't know that donuts. I did not know that donuts were not taxed.
That's right. And, but, you know, coffee drinks.
I'm glad to know that they're a necessity and not a luxury.
Well, I could tell you back in the pandemic, we were talking about it, us being essential.
Yes.
Didn't matter that much, because when you stop going to an office, guess what? There's no more Donut Friday.
Oh,
guess what? When
right.
you're not making a sales call on someone, you're not taking donuts on that sales call. So we lost huge opportunities in the marketplace to do what was very, very basic functions of our society.
Well, consistently, it is recurring customers.
And that
and
went away. And
recurring customers are absolutely essential.
We would love the fact that some salesperson was introducing someone in a doctor's office to our product in an effort to make a sale. They'd bring something that they felt was awesome, right?
Yeah.
And in that process, we might get a customer. But, you know, that whole thing changed drastically, and it has had an effect also on what we consider to be the cost of doing business, from a credit card processing, swipe fee. A lot of folks are going away from that, and they're going to what would they call a cash discount.
Well, now, so what percentage of your sales are cash versus credit card at this point?
Well, it really depends on the location, but our most credit-driven locations are probably 75% credit. Now, debit cards are treated differently.
Yep.
There's a statute that really protects the way debit cards are treated. So we can't just do a surcharge on a debit card. There's a way that transaction, yeah. we have to pay those fees. As it's a credit card, like
well, there's the
Southwest,
debit credit.
Right.
They're different, slightly different. And
well,
they charge
credit cards that have perks, for example.
Yes.
Those cards are very expensive.
Yes, they are.
Because every merchant is paying for that perk. So whether it's miles on Southwest or whether it's some other kind of form of perk, ultimately that's embedded in the cost of that transaction. So those cards are also being surcharged. Right now that law is on the books in almost all states that credit card surcharges can be offset to the customer.
How did you come across in labeling your donuts and naming the donuts, and how many different types of donuts do you have, and where did those names come from?
Well, the part of that is I guess more function than form. People would say, you know, I've always had a tendency towards creativity. I like thinking outside the box. I like creating new things. But the first donut shop that I had was 204 square feet, which is roughly the size of the space we're in. And there were no windows. So if I locked you in there for lengthy periods of time, you'd have a couple choices on your menu. One of them was going crazy, which I may have done. The other one is coming up with all these ideas. And so some of this started off very basic. I mean, when we first opened, we had cinnamon sugar and powdered sugar, and that was it.
Okay.
And I would go to pick up our bakery supplies from a distributor who was about 20 minutes away, and they'd make me come in and pay up front in the office, and then I'd have to take the receipt that says I paid into the back to give them, to have them fill my order, which was, you know, basically donut making material. Well, I'd have to snake my way through this big warehouse, and the shelves were full of other stuff that bakeries buy. And I would think, oh, that looks interesting. Why don't we try that? Or what about that? And then once we exhausted what the bakery supply companies had, then we started experimenting with other things like Oreo and Fruity Pebbles and you know, some of our more exotic foods. Well, in the early days, we had no nuts, because we felt like being nut-free or attempting to stay nut-free
right.
was of value to some people who had really bad nut allergies. However, we were buying materials that basically gave us some assurance that the raw materials we were using would allow us to pass on some certainty that we would be nut-free. Well, everybody lawyered up in the last 12 years, I can tell you. And now instead of it saying processed in a plant that may handle tree nuts, processed in on a line that does not. Now it says, this is going to kill everyone that eats it, and it probably will kill you as you read it. So they have no duty to anyone to try and keep them alive.
Right.
So we've had a tough time in trying to maintain that. We only have a couple locations in the brand that are still nut-free, and everybody else has become nutty. And that's where we've had a lot of fun naming. So some of our donuts have names like Chaka Pecan. That's a fun donut. We're wrapped in the 70s, as you know. Heath, Wind and Fire.
Snick Jagger.
Snick Jagger.
Robert Brulee.
Robert Brulee. Yeah, Robert
That's
Brulee.
One of my favorites.
But, you know, so many people younger than us, and I know...
They
have no idea who Robert Goulet was, and so they have
they
no connection.
They know who Mick Jagger is, so
that's right,
Snick
that's right.
Jagger.
So, and we have, you know, our apple pie donut is called the American Pie, and birthday cake. We've leaned into, we just actually... We signed an agreement with Cool and the Gang, and we actually have a dozen donuts, and this may be the Celebrate Dozen, that when we sell a dozen under the Celebrate name, the Cool Kids Foundation gets a dollar.
That's great.
And they teach kids in inner cities music.
That is fabulous.
And we use the music and the image and Cool and the Gang to connect with them and the music. We've also done something with Kool-Aid. We have a Kool-Aid dozen, which we use their tropical fruit punch and their blue raspberry lemonade as a flavor enhancer. So we make donuts out of those two, kind of a reddish-looking donut and a bluish-looking donut.
But it sounds like you're not just making donuts, you're also giving back to the community. That's phenomenal.
We do a lot of that. So we have a charitable wing of the brand, which we created a 501c3 that actually we intend to continue to fund and to do good works. We try not to tout much of that. The way I read my Bible, we're supposed to not let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. And so what we want to do is give if we can in secret. But one of the things we try and do is take care of our employees. If we find out somebody has a need, we want to try and meet that need wherever possible. And we're going to broaden that to the whole brand. Actually, we want to create, you know, a subcategory of the 501c3 that actually attends to immediate financial distress of our employees.
But doing business by doing good really develops that business. And Ron, that's, I think, really speaks for itself. And I appreciate you being on here. One last question. What's your favorite donut?
The Robert Brulee, actually.
Robert Brulee?
Yeah, in fact, we had that donut designed and we didn't have a name for it. I was riding in the car with one of the folks I work with and I said, just give me a minute, you know, and I just go into this mode where I'm just thinking. We're driving this long distance, and he thought I'd quit thinking about it, and it was a while later, and I go, I got it. He goes, what? I go, Robert Brulee. He goes, that's why you make the big money.
Well, Ron,
that's why you make the big money.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure,
I appreciate it. And let's have some donuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.